Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Please be seated. The American songwriter and singer Bob Dylan, in a very brief moment in his history that he will not talk about, will not mention again publicly, will not answer questions about, for a very brief moment in time, he wrote some of the best gospel music that was written in the 20th century. Gospel music that was so good that some of the best black gospel choirs in the country have recorded it. And it's this very brief moment, a very brief instant. And among the things he wrote in this very brief time is this. Maybe you might wear cotton, might like to wear silk, might like to drink whiskey, might like to drink milk. You might like to eat caviar, might like to eat bread, maybe sleeping on the floor, sleeping in a king-size bed. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed. You're gonna have to serve somebody. It may be the devil, or it may be the Lord. But you're going to have to serve somebody. Basically, I think that's what St. Paul is telling us in chapter 6. Everybody has to make a decision. Everybody has to come to a conclusion. Everyone has to decide who they will serve. Now today, when you read articles or you read something, one of the big things I hear read about today is that nothing should be a binary decision. In fact, there was a Congress member the other day on TV talking about something they're doing in Congress, and they asked him a question, and he said, well, you know, voting in Congress isn't a binary decision. And the commentator looked at him and said, yes, it is. It's yes or no. We want in life today ultimate numbers of choices, ultimate decisions, ultimate ways of looking at everything. Now, even as I've used this example before, somebody told me, well, you know, 2 + 2 may equal 4 in some forms of math, but in new math, there are many answers. Just don't want to drive over the bridge of the person that uses the new math. My wife and I were visiting down in Newport, Rhode Island, which is, you know, land of beautiful homes, beautiful mansions, and one of the most gorgeous churches you would ever want to walk into. Big, old, white New England church sitting on the high point, the steeple, the tower, the huge, white, clear glass windows letting in as much light as you can, the whole thing painted in glorious, pure white, just alive with light. And to go in, it was an absolutely gorgeous colonial building, and there was a gentleman sitting in the back there, and after we had walked through and seen everything, he started talking to us, and he said, you know, I don't know what your religious background is, but I just want to tell you something, that I have chosen Christianity. You see, Jesus Christ meets my needs. Now, that mightn't be true for you. That not everyone can find their needs met in Jesus, that may not be true for you. You know, there are many, many ways to find your way to God and to truth. But for me personally, I need Jesus. And he looked up with a big smile on his face, and I said, that's the stupidest statement I've ever heard in my life. And he went, what? I said, Jesus Christ said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus Christ, therefore, my friend, is either the Lord God incarnate, Savior of the world, or he's a raving lunatic. There's no other choice. And if you're saying Jesus Christ is not a raving lunatic, then everything he said is true, and everything you just said is ridiculous. The life of faith is a binary choice. It's a yes or it's a no. It's a choice which will change every single thing you do in life. For Paul, everything he did, everything he saw, every action he took, whether it was religious, daily life, political, whatever, was filtered through the gospel, was filtered through the scriptures. Everything he did was done in the light of the world and the gospel of Christ. It's a Christian worldview that you look at everything in the light of the work, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and the fact that it is absolutely and completely true. And he's telling this new group of Christians in Rome, exactly what Bob Dylan just said, you're going to serve somebody. You're going to have to decide who it is that you are a slave of. Are you going to be a slave of the Lord God? Or are you going to be a slave of the world? Are you going to be a slave of the devil? Because everything you do has that choice. And I think Paul is quite clear that making that choice of who you will serve, who you will give your allegiance and your honor to, does change everything in your life. You know, life flows kind of like a river. Life is out there. You have to make decisions. You have to make choices. And life in religion, in spirituality, can sometimes get very confusing. I sometimes think it's like being in a traffic jam. There was that big accident about 2 weeks ago now up on the Northway. And I made the mistake of getting on exit 17A. And he discovered when I got there that that's where the road basically became a parking lot for 2.5 hours. And my first thought was, oh, no good, no problem. I'll just go up here. And they got those little do not make a U-turn signs. I'll just quickly make a U-turn in there. Except every one of them had a state police cruiser parked in front of them. But it's like driving the road. You're in that traffic jam. You have to decide what you're going to do. Are you staying in it? Are you sticking with it? Or are you going to take a shortcut? So you're driving down the road. Now you know you want to go to the east. Sitting right there is this lovely road that's going off, and it's heading to the east. You're in traffic. Why not? There's nobody turning off there. Looks perfect. So you turn off. It's got to be heading in the right direction. And you go to the east for about half a mile. And then suddenly you discover you're going to the south. And then suddenly you discover that you're going west. And you suddenly discover that you're back on the exact same road, except 2 miles further back than where you got off. Gotta make a decision. You got to decide who you're going to serve. You've got to make a decision on whether or not it is the Lord or it's the world. And it changes every single thing you want. Every single thing you think. Nothing is the same again. Everything in the light of the work of Christ changes. And it's true for everyone. That's what Paul's talking about here. He's telling us all one thing and one thing only. Make that decision. Who are you going to serve? Who is going to be the Lord and guiding principle of your life? And if you choose Jesus, you win. Because guess what? He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. He is the one who holds the key. Now you see, one of the big things in modern thought, which is, I think, one of the best things the enemy of God, the devil, whatever you want to call him, has ever come up with, is symbolized by a bumper sticker that you can see in a car. And it's a lovely thought. It's really a cliche now. What is it? It's a lovely bumper sticker which is made of all kinds of little different symbols, all kinds of little different religious symbols. And what does it all spell out when you look at it? Coexist. Isn't that a wonderful thought? Isn't it a right thought? Shouldn't everyone coexist with everyone else? Answer, yes. Should everyone respect everyone else? The answer is yes. Should a Muslim be able to live next door to a Christian in peace? Yes. But does that mean that what we believe is the same? The answer is no. Not all theology leads to God. As we understand God, as we believe in God, as God has revealed himself to us, the life of Christ was given for us as a saving act. Christ calls us to come to him. Christ calls us to follow him. Christ calls upon us to be his disciples. We don't choose God. God chose us. God called us, just like he called us, called Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldees, just as he called John the Baptist to rise and be a voice in the wilderness. He calls us to follow him, to be his disciple, to be his friend, and to be the friend of the world. Wonderful story. So I just said, we talked about a few minutes ago, can a Muslim and a Christian live side by side? Yes. It's a wonderful story. A man by the name of seeking Allah, finding Jesus. Nabil Quraysh. And he was a wonderful man. He died, unfortunately, a few years ago, very young. And he was a dedicated Muslim. His entire life was dedicated to the Quran, to the word of Allah, and bringing people to faith in Allah. And he had several Christian friends. And one of them said, you know what? We both can't be right. How about we get together? I will study the Quran, and you will study the Bible. And the guy thought of it and said, that's great. I'll bring him to Allah. I'll make him a Muslim after he finishes studying the Quran. Guess what? He was baptized a Christian. What he said was he saw the beauty, the grace, and the grace of the true God. Just because we believe that our beliefs are right doesn't mean we laud it over others. How did Nabil come to be a Christian? Through friendship, through grace, through the grace of his friend coming and saying, let's study this together. Let's both be open-minded enough to look at these two books and decide which one is real. Not real for me, not real for you, not real for somebody else, but real for all people. God calls us to choose. God calls us to take a side. God calls us to serve somebody. And the one he calls us to serve is him. In the name of that God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Yes?
I think you have to ask one more question.
Then what is that?
Story. Who does the legal department at that place work for?
What place?
You know how the guy went through that whole disclaimer?
What are you talking about in the church?
Yeah. Who does the legal department there work for?
He was a parishioner of that church, an Episcopal church in what's the name of the town?
Newport.
He was actually a parishioner.